This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto. It is a Town Hall Academy. Glad to have you here. Guess what? You've just jumped into the anniversary show, 10 years doing this stuff, being behind the mic for 10 years in the Carm studio. I don't know where this is going, but here's a secret, everyone. My second, third, and fourth interview are standing by in the green room, ready to come out and talk about their first episode with me ever and what's going on with them.
Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And Napatrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find Napatrax on the web at napatrax.com.
Are you ready to roll out a training plan for your automotive shop? Ready to optimize? We'll use today's class in just 5 minutes daily, boost knowledge, retention, and improve team performance. Start seeing results today. Great gamification programs here to challenge all your people. Join your peers at todaysclass.com.
Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, give the video a thumbs up, and thanks.
I want to introduce you to three great people who have taking some very special time from their day to join me on the 10th anniversary show. Dwayne Myers, Dwayne, Dynamic Automotive, Seven Shops. God, I think when I first met you years ago, when I wasn't even podcasting, got to know you pretty well, you were on episode 2, 3, and 4 with your partners. So even though I call him my second interview, they were episodes 2, 3, and 4. And let me tell the audience a little secret about that. It was such a long interview. And it was raw and intense. I'll never forget it, by the way. And I said to myself, as a beginning podcaster doing my second interview, I says, I can't possibly publish an hour and 15 or 5 minute episode. So I chopped it up into three, like half hour shows. And so thank you so much for doing that and for being on our 10th anniversary show, Dwayne.
Carm, it is an honor. And we reflect back on those episodes because I remember we had rules to follow, including, you know, you had to say your name before you started talking because no one could figure it out. How things have changed.
Things have changed. And then my next interview after Dwayne was Clint Dudley, Shade Tree Auto, out of Iowa. You had one big, beautiful store back then, and now you have three.
We are. We're growing. Definitely.
I couldn't be more proud of you guys in these 10 years that, hey, listen, no disrespect to anyone with a one big, beautiful store, but just to know the fact that you guys were drinking some of that Kool-Aid about scaling and that you were successful. Clint, thank you so much for being here. And in episode number 6, or my actual fourth interview, is Gene Morrell from Certified Automotive Specialists. Glendora, California, out there on Route 66. Nice little place you got there. I love the background.
Yep, there's a story behind that, and we'll go that later. When I look back at the episodes and I look forward, the people I've got to know and meet, I just can't thank you enough, Carm, because it was you that got the ball rolling and changed my life and made me a better business owner. So thank you.
Gene, thank you for that. I'm honored to feel I had a tiny little slice in that. Gene is also an elite worldwide coach.
I am enjoying that very, very much.
And you know, Gene taught me this acronym called R&D in that episode number 6. And you took the shame out of me worrying that I stole someone's idea. And R&D, I mean, what was R&D, Gene? Rip off and duplicate, Carm. And so frankly, that really put some juice in my engine, Gene, to get stories throughout the industry so that other people could listen to learn just one thing. And then I always said, then implement.
Elite Worldwide taught me that in the group process, and many group processes teach you that when you're not smart enough to make it happen, you share or grab it from somebody else and you make it your own. And it works really, really well.
Okay. So during this interview, we're going to find out what these guys are doing right now. I want to talk a little bit about what the podcast has meant to me and some of the stats that have come out of the last 10 years. You know, I was never just happy to have Remarkable Results Radio. I'd have the Town Hall Academy and Aftermarket Weekly and Carmcast and all that other stuff going on. Boy, I did some math, 1,889 podcasts in 10 years. And that does not include the Aftermarket Radio Network. That's just all the crazy stuff I did behind this microphone. As I said, I was going to kind of give you some stats that was going on back in 2015. Apple entered the wearables market with the launch of the first Apple Watch in April 2015. Isn't that interesting? And I think we all have something on our wrists that may be paying homage to that. So Dwayne's been on before, and we've done a lot of great things together, been at conferences and everything. But you stopped turning wrenches and decided to become a partner in a shop that now you're chief cook and bottle washer, I think?
Yeah, actually, you know, many of them have heard, you know, my story where I was, or started as a part-time employee and then worked my way up, bought in, and became partners with two great guys. And we're still together, still making it happen. But a big difference, you know, back in 2015, we had definitely pulled in and were protective after going through such a tough time. Definitely, if you want to know what that was, go back and listen to those episodes. But this podcast helped us, you know, get that off our chest and start moving forward and actually stop using it as an excuse. And we started growing again. The last shop we had opened at that point was our third. We opened in 2005. And fourth one came in 2016, right after you started. Wasn't long after you started, Carm. And I believe it helped with the healing process for us.
When I was sitting in the studio doing this thing virtually, and I think we were using Zoom at the time, Dwayne, and I was hearing you and Jose and Lee say the things that you were saying, talk about the banking experience and needing the money and all these challenges, I said to myself, what have I fallen into? What have I discovered? For people like, you know, Dwayne, Lee, and Jose to come on and speak this publicly to the industry. And when we were all done with that, I started to realize the value that the podcast could start providing to people who have these similar issues and things going on in their world and saying, wow, there's other people just like me. And either you reach out to that individual or you have that, if you will, come to Jesus meetings and say, hey, you know what? I'm not the only one going through these problems. Again, let's go back to it's about training and education and coaching, and it's about networking and peer groups. And it is about look in the mirror. It not necessarily is everyone else's problem, but it could be mine. And I remember you guys always talking about that.
In respect of looking back, we can see that was definitely a turning point for us. So the power of the podcast was real.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm so proud to have been part of that and to have you on the show and for you to really, you guys to set the stage. And then Clint comes on and I think he kind of lightens it up a little bit after those, you know, incredibly important episodes. And you were in an unbelievable growth mode, Clint.
Yeah, we really were. We had, been putting the finishing touches on our brand new facility. So that was, we went from a small rental place to an intentional 13,000 square foot, 10 bay shop. And that was a big jump for us, right? So we were excited. You know, the sky was the limit at that point. We had just won a couple of national and international awards. So really felt like we're very fortunate. You know, had a lot of opportunities that you don't normally get, especially in, you know, auto repair. We change oil for a living, right? But you can still do some pretty amazing stuff with that. So really appreciated being on the show. I felt like I was 5 years old when I look back on it, starting to learn how to run business and how to manage employees and you know, the funding, obviously, you know, Dwayne kind of hit on that too. It's tough, you know, it's tough to bite off that big of a chunk of borrowing money and to hope you do everything right from then on forward to pay it back.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing guts. You had guts, Dwayne, Lee, and Jose. Clint, you had guts to make this leap. When I discovered Clint and I started to look at the pictures and I'm sitting there saying, there's nothing like that in Buffalo, New York. What's going on in Iowa? It was like, wow, I can't wait to share this with our industry. I think we actually had a picture. The graphic picture was you in front of the building. I think that's what it was. There's a whole bunch of people that looked at that and says, that can't be real. That's got to be a picture or something.
Yeah, we have people that think it's a credit union. So
We got a NASCAR in the front room that looks out right on the corner. Do you think what kind of credit union has a NASCAR?
Thank you for those memories. Wow. And then Gene, you were just so much fun, this whole rip off and duplicate thing. You brought Gene Morrill no nonsense, almost like you were a linebacker to the episode.
Well, it's really exciting to go back and look at what you learned. And I wish I was younger like Clint and Dwayne, because I'm now in the mode to where I'm heading out the door. So in the next 3 or 4 years, so we had the big shop, we took on another shop, we were just doing really, really well, having things dialed in, and then some circumstances beyond our control with leases came. So it gave us an opportunity to downsize. And I'm telling you, when you get a chance to downsize and fine tune and fix things and have the right customers and the right jobs and the right cars, it is a wonderful world. At Christmas time, it's a wonderful life. For me right now, it's a wonderful life. Dwayne mentioned earlier, it's like you're so busy doing things other than work, you know, as far as working on the cars and all that. You have staff that does that. You know, I'm just enjoying myself so much. I've gone to a week on, a week off. My wife and I take off for a week. Then we come back for a week. Then we leave for a week again. And we're trying to groom our staff to take it over and just run it. And then at some point, we'll turn it over to them or somebody. So life is good for me.
Let me dig into this on one week and off another. Do you plan that off week to do things, to travel?
Our grandkids are in Arizona, which is a 5-hour drive. And when you get to a certain point in life, you learn that your health and your family take precedence over everything. And when you're younger, your health and your family seem to not be as important. And you younger folks coming up, stop it. Your health and your family is everything. Your kid playing baseball, go to the game. Don't work. It is just so, so important. You know, kids will never regret having you there watching them play baseball, no matter how good or bad they are.
Clint, if you were 15 or 12 years younger and you heard Gene say that, would you take that to heart?
I think I would. You know, my kids, my daughter's a freshman at Iowa State right now, and my son's a freshman in high school. So being around for them has been huge. I think it was my grandpa that said, when you're a business owner, you get to work half days. That's 12 hours and go home. I don't think people realize that when they get in. You're your own boss, you can take time off when you want to. You always keep pushing it down the road. So I totally agree with that. I think there are some times when you just assume that it's too tight. There's too many things on the line. You can't afford to take time off. But I think you're surprised at what you can do when you carve out that time for your family.
Dwayne, what advice would you give to have someone not work as hard as you are?
It's easier when you look at your team and what they're doing. I can send them home. I've actually forced people to take time off. They're like, I can't. I said, you have to take time off. I didn't have that. I had genes tell me, you know, don't work so much. If you try to roll it down in the culture of it, you know, I send emails out in the middle of the night. I make sure people go home. They can disconnect. It's a day off. It's their day off. You know, for us, a 5-day work week, you know, at one point, probably in 2015, we were at 7 days. All those things have helped, but I believe part of that is learned. You got to kind of do it a little bit before you figure it out. It's like anything in life. We got to learn the hard way, not the easy way.
Always great advice.
Carm, if this helps, I was looking on the wall. My son, when he was 7, you know, had an assignment to write something about your dad. My dad is the greatest dad because he comes to all my baseball games and helps me practice and spends time with me. Then on the other wall, my 6-year-old granddaughter, we just got back there, says, I love you when I get to spend time with you. I hope you have a great day. Love, Claire. So don't miss out on those moments with your kids and your grandkids, because again, is your customer going to care? I'm just turned 65, so I'm a Medicare fan now. So, and my goal, if you listen to the show, was 55 to retire. When we were starting your show, I was going to start my road to retirement and I never did it. Don't miss it.
My grandkids are coming and staying overnight Saturday night. We do that maybe 3 times, even though they live here in town. We do that like 3 times a year. To a point, it is off the charts to hang out with the 5 and 7 year old. Just off the charts, so much fun. Taking me back to that really warm feeling, and you're 100% right. Hey, back in 2015, what was the number one selling car, guys? You remember?
It's a little Tykes Roadster, I think, wasn't it? The little red thing with the yellow top.
It was the Toyota Camry.
You might want to check on that. I think I'm right, Carl. Double check. Camry was a close second.
That is really, really good. Yeah, the Camry, I think it held that position, I believe, for, let me see, where's my stats? I think 15 years. 14th consecutive years, America's top-selling car in 2015, Toyota Camry. You know, for Carm, you know, getting to know you guys and hearing these incredible stories and how transparent you were, I started to get real excited about what else can I do? So I'm doing this one show. Thank God to Mike Proud from Federal Mogul, an old friend of mine. I drove to Detroit. I couldn't have done this had I not gotten sponsors and partners in the show. And so I want to pay homage to Mike Proud from Federal Mogul. He's retired now. For giving me my first sponsorship with Federal Mogul, Moog and Champion and Anko and all those incredible, incredible brands. So thank you, Mike, for getting us kicked off, because I couldn't eat if we didn't have, you know, great sponsors, and this thing would have just died 1,000 deaths a bunch of years ago. But then I got all excited. I says, wow, this is so cool. Dwayne, you guys were the impetus for me to start Town Hall Academy, because, you know, I had 3 of you on and just think, how do we do this? How do we edit this? And we were just, podcasting was just a few years old back then. And so my brain says, what about that, you know, single subject forum, that panel discussion, kind of like what we're doing right now at Town Hall Academy. The Town Hall Academy, 432 episodes. We started that in January 2017. I wasn't happy with just the remarkable results. You know, I had to do it twice a week. And then I had started Carmcasts in 2018. And those were just one-off things. And then the Town Hall Academy happened in 2017. We've got 432 of those single subject forums. We brought on, you named the kind of topic we've had. I wasn't satisfied then. And then in January 2018, we did For the Record. I didn't want to be on any shows anymore. I wanted people to come on and just give their opinion on stuff. I got to tell you a really cool story behind For the Record. It was at Vision in 2018. And my friend G. Jerry Trulia came by the studio and I says, G, you got anything you'd like to rant about? And he goes, damn, yes. I said, would you sit in front of the microphone? And he went off on the whole educator evaporate thing. I mean, he was just like, he was spot on. He was going. I recorded this. And I go, oh my God, I think I got the impetus to my show. I'm not on it. Here's somebody coming in telling their opinion on something. Well, we did For the Record for 116 episodes. And then, crazy enough, in May 2020, I'd started Aftermarket Weekly, which was the live shop tours. We did 189 episodes. And I think halfway through, the logistics of just getting the videos taken and publishing them and trying to do it live, the logistics insurmountable. So we just went with a single kind of show. We called it Aftermarket Weekly. So it's like all the episodes from Remarkable Results, 1,038, and all that stuff together was 1,889 episodes. Am I nuts? Thank you, Dwayne. Dwayne was shaking his head if you're just listening through audio. I don't know. I don't know what got me started. But Dwayne, tell me about the last new story you just got. Congrats, by the way.
Well, it's taught me that I'm getting older. Me and Lee spent the weekend putting a stone veneer on the front of it, working on remodeling. But no, we, a little over a month ago, purchased our 7th location. It was an existing business, been in business a long time, in a great town, historic Sykesville, which is a awesome town. Very friendly, very welcoming. It's always nice when you put energy and effort in something and people want you there. We're excited. It's a great opportunity for us, for the community. The part is we're sore because we're doing all this work we're not used to doing. And getting the building up to our standards, you know, up to our brand. But when it's done, it's going to be pretty cool.
Good for you. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. Napa Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it.
After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing tracks to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, Carm here, suggesting you discover a smarter way to train your entire automotive team. Experience powerful, bite-sized training sessions accessible from any device in just 5 minutes daily. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Today's class prepares your shop for sustained success by reinforcing crucial knowledge. Plus, add a competitive edge with our leaderboard to make learning fun and rewarding for everyone. For effective training that delivers, turn to todaysclass.com. Did COVID change you, your company, our industry at all? Because, you know, COVID happened right here in the middle of this.
Funny you mentioned that. It was right in the middle of this 10 years it happened. I want to say, you can look at COVID two ways. You can look at the benefits that you got out of it, or you can always look at the negatives, because we all sweated those negatives. But we took the time to get better as a company. That's when we cut out our Saturdays. And then we also worked on our processes, procedures, and the things that you heard on the podcast, that people had all these things dialed in. You're like, how do they have that? So we took that time and actually became a better company over COVID. It gave us time to work on our facilities, to work on our SOPs, and just to have those in place. And that now has allowed us to scale. And we've scaled. We've added 3 more stores since then. Yeah, definitely. It's moved the needle for us a lot.
You know, Clint, one of the things I always admired about you is to say, listen, I got to think like a businessman, not a technician. And that's been such a theme of ours lately, about having people get out of the back and get up, not only on the front counter, but into the office and become, stop being the chief everything officer, but becoming the chief executive officer.
Yeah, it was a transition for me. I thought that since I was a decent technician that it would be pretty smooth, but man, P&Ls and balance sheets and marketing, HR, you know, the people aspect of it, that was difficult. I did have to do some continuing education. I found some night classes. I did go through the ATI program that helped out. A lot of peer help, a lot of your podcast, to be honest with you. Went through the Goldman Sachs 10,000 small businesses, which helped us launch our, that was kind of where I got the business plan put together for the 3 stores that we have now. So we went MSO after that.
Wow. Good for you. So you all had coaching in your background. You've all decided, listen, we're going to go get some help. And it made you better. Did it, all of you, made you better?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
And Gene, you ended up coaching for Elite.
Yeah. Let me say, coaching is not something that is an option. It should be mandatory. I resisted coaching for 30 years and made a good living and just kind of limped along. And once I discovered coaching, group process, it just transformed my life. And if you listen to my episode, it wasn't even me that was smart enough to do it. My wife gave me an ultimatum to either close the store or figure out what the heck you're doing by joining this coaching program, because she sat in with me on a pitch somebody gave. And so she's the smartest person I met, even though she's not even in the business. She kind of turned our lives around by making me smarter. And then within the group process, I still to this day have 3 super close friends. You know, we network, not every week, but sometimes once a month. And we talk, chat, share ideas, crying each other's Cheerios when, you know, there's always something, a car falls off a rack, somebody gets injured, something, there's always a challenge. But the one thing I wanted to say, kudos to Clint and Dwayne. I love you guys. You're growing, growing, growing. I know so many people that have this desire to get bigger. But let me say that some folks don't have that in them. And the shop owners that don't, small and mighty, call me, because I can make you small and mighty and have one shop and be happy and have fun. If you want to know multiple shops, call Clinton, Dwayne. They'll show you how to do that. But don't be afraid. Tell you how many folks I've looked up on the podcast and I said, I want to be like him. And I end up finding out where they are and calling them and asking them for advice. Please, please, please don't be afraid to do that. That's a resource that is just insanely in front of you. And if you don't take it, just shame on you.
Thank you for getting up on your soapbox for that. Because, you know, every time I get done with a recording, again, 1,889 of them as of this immediate moment, I always say, I hope we can change an individual in a life and an attitude and personal wealth and better places to work and culture and all those 25 key strategic or tactical moves that every owner has to have going on their business. And thank you for saying that. One thing about coaching, Gene, and guys, tell me if I'm right or wrong here. I don't need to be a coach. I'm going to spend the money and they're going to tell me to raise my labor rate. And that's what everybody says. I mean, if you look at some of the social media stuff, there's so much negativity. Should the name coaching or coach be changed so that it's softer or more powerful? Like, it has the value of an MBA?
I don't think so, Carm. For me, I'd rather somebody kick me in the butt. I want a coach. That's what we need. I mean, if you're going to be all nice about it, then you're friends, not a coach. This is my opinion, but I've had quite a few coaches. I have two right now. They're helping me be better. I look at coaches, their job is to teach themselves out of a job. They're not necessarily for a lifetime, but I want somebody that's going to hold me accountable. And really, we even do it in our interview process when we hire someone for our team. You know, are you willing to invest in yourself as much as we are going to invest in you? Because we train all over the country. And if you're someone that has all the knowledge you need, you are not dynamic automotive material. So we get that out of the way right from the beginning and set that standard. So if I'm not making myself better, I feel like I'm being hypocritical.
Your thoughts, Clint?
Yeah, I think this industry, most of the industries are just changing way too fast. I think it's easy for us to not only get ahead of ourselves, but forget what was successful before. And I think the coaching and advising to help remind you that, hey, this stuff worked 10 years ago. It still works today. But at the same time, we need to try some new things too. That's what I like about the independent shops and the fact that, you know, if we're a multi-shop organization, we can try something out or get some ideas from one of the other shops that's working and apply it to the other ones. And, you know, even outside of our industry too, you know, like the dental industry is surprisingly similar to what automotive is when you really boil it down. There's definitely different ways to think about things, but at the same time, man, don't forget what got you there.
You know, thank you for saying the dental industry, because I have talked about that a lot, or at least the medical field. And I recently was at the dentist last week and I'm sitting in the chair and I couldn't help but think of ARO, technician efficiency. I couldn't stop but what was going on, right? Of course, they set the appointment before I get up. And I mean, with the x-ray is the feature. It says, you know, every so many miles on your car, we have to do an x-ray. And I'm thinking, wow, it's just like the industry. A great friend of mine is my dentist, and I will be at a party with him in July, and I will ask him, tell me about your KPIs and how often you review them. And so what's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. If you're going to run a great business today and maximize the profits that you need to make, you got to have some good, and again, I go back to the whole thing of coaching. Maybe it's expert help. Hire an expert instead of a coach. Mentoring. Yeah, peer groups. And I love the peer groups. Somebody gets assigned a composite partner and they hold each other accountable and they grow together. Those are nice. Gene, have you done any of that?
Absolutely. So my goal as I've got older is, I call it wet your beak, is if I can teach somebody to wet their beak and try coaching, mentoring, teach them something that they didn't know, you know, and how do you get a customer to come in? Sometimes it's with a special, right? A lower cost, some whatever it is. It shop owners, your children, if I can give them one thing to encourage them to move in a direction that's going to, you know, entice their lives. For me, when I was 18 years old, my high school auto shop teacher gave me a $50 scholarship to community college. Absolutely changed my life. And so I'm trying to give that mode back, try something. You know, most of these programs, they have no contracts. If they do, you don't want to get into them, but wet your beak, try out some of these programs or program, hook up with me, hook up with somebody that'll give you a little advice, and I guarantee it'll change your life. I taught at Citrus College for many years when I was a younger man. One of my customers came to me and said, "Gene, thank you. Because of you and what you taught my son, he is now the head of the MTA transportation department, making a gazillion dollars. Thank you." You know what that does to you? Oh my God. It's insane. Giving back is just something you cannot not do.
How heartwarming. Wow. I love that. Hey, listen, I know that there's an awful lot of teaching institutions out there that need teachers. And I know they don't pay super, super well. I get that. But they're looking for what's called adjunct, which is part-time. If somebody says, it's to your point, listen, I want to work 2 days a week. Well, then go pick up 2 days at a community college and pay it forward. That's a great idea, Gene. Thanks for that. So 10 years ago, price of fuel, the average was $2.43. I mean, I just saw a sign for $2.89 here in Buffalo. What's the price in your area, Gene?
It could give you as high as $5.80 right now.
How much for 1 gallon?
The average right now is $4.79 for a gallon of fuel.
Dwayne, what's going on at your end of town? Dwayne's from Maryland.
I got a few more taxes, so we're in the low threes right now, like $3.20.
Well, I'm in New York State, and the taxes are off the charts here, too. I mean, I think we're trying to keep up with California.
Yep.
Yeah, Gene, I don't need a thumbs up. I need a thumbs down that your governor has decided to cut your tax base there, your tax rates by 20%. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yep.
It would be nice. A dozen eggs.
I'd like to see the Gene rebate. You know, does everybody named Gene just gets a rebate and life
good? In 2015, eggs were $1.33. The median household income was $56,516. In 2024, it's $114,395 household income. I find that fascinating. Think back, Clint, you remember what your labor rate was back then?
I think we just broke 100, and we thought that was going to be too much for our customers. You were spot on when you talked about the coaching companies, like, you know, you can pay us a bunch of money, we're just going to tell you to raise your labor rate and charge job materials and job supplies, right? That's pretty much what we did. It helped out that we realized that's how we pay our technicians, right? So you want good technicians, you need a good labor rate.
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, maybe I'm wrong. Gene, tell me if I'm wrong. Dwayne, tell me if I'm wrong. But I'm not sure we as an industry understand gross profit margin enough. In that whatever the labor rate is, whatever your parts markup is, all of that is what generates the money that you pay all your bills from. And what's ever left, I remember doing an episode about where the money goes. And it was something when I was working for corporate America, I would go out and I would show a $100 P&L. And I would show where a typical, and then I would scale it to 1,000, scale it to 100,000, scale it to 1,000,000. The percentages never change. The dollars do, to explain someone that just because my business does $1,000,000 doesn't mean I have $1,000,000 in the bank. All that gross profit that comes in has to end up paying the bills. And I think for so many, you know, Clint, the extra training, going to class, Gene, all the stuff that you learned, somewhere along the line, trying to become a really solid business person, I think, and I hope for all these episodes that we've done and all this business acumen that you guys have come on my show to share with the world. And I still believe that gross margin dollars is the ticket. How I charge for it up here and how I cost it or save money in the cost section produces the profit that will ultimately allow new raises, new equipment, scaling for growth, personal wealth. People say, well, it's a profit. He puts it in his pocket and he goes home with it. Wrong.
You know, what's interesting, Carm? I put together with a lead in Southern California, Fly with the Eagles course, and we packed it with 50 shop owners. First question. Joe Marconi, most of you guys know that. Why are you here? 80% of the people stood up and say, I'm burned out. I don't know what to do. I don't know my financials. It was like eye-opening, because how can you be in business say you're in business and you don't know what a P&L is. Truly tragic. You know, people, they're supposed to bring their P&Ls. They didn't even know what it was. It was sad, really sad. But an opportunity for us to teach people, you know.
Clint, is there such a thing as shop owner burnout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jeez, yeah. Yeah. Usually when the alarm goes off. Yeah. Get all that gumption together and get into work. And once you're there, it's fine. But yeah, it's a big nut to crack every day. The next day is going to be just as big. And it, sometimes that gets a little overwhelming. You got to slow down a little bit.
Dwayne, I saw you laughing hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it kills me. People are afraid to charge, or they'll look at us and they'll say, oh, you're ripping people off. I said, no, we're providing value at a fair price, but that's what allows us to give the raises we talked about, to have the benefits for our team, to have apprenticeship programs and other things in place. All this stuff costs money. And the only way you pay for it is by charging. When you go somewhere, you see a shop owner that's burned out and you give them some hand. They ask for help. You say, all right, well, you look at their financials and you go, you're not charging enough money. Then you can hire somebody to do this job that you're doing right now so you then can work on the business. And they're like, I can't charge that. And I said, then you're going to be in the same spot or worse. As an industry, we got to understand our value and we have to charge for it because all the other businesses do, all the other trades do. You don't go somewhere without them making money. It's nothing wrong with that. Now, you do a good job, you treat people morally and fairly, but it's okay to make money. That way you can do these things.
Hey, Carm, you and I were talking in the green room earlier is we grew up as technicians, right? When fuel injection came out, we went to school to learn fuel injection. When ADAS came out, we went to school to learn that as a technician. But we become owners, and then we don't think we need any education or to go to school to become an owner. It's more important than ever to line up your slate of classes, knowledge, whatever it is. So pretend you're a technician as an owner and go to the classes you would to learn about the fuel injection in a business sense.
Yeah. Inject me with some knowledge. Inject me with some ideas. When I look back at all these episodes and everything that I have learned from shop owners, from the specialist technicians in our bays, from the service advisors, from all the coaches and all the instructors, I ended up writing this paper, The Top 12 Success Strategies from Professional and Auto Service CEOs. And I mean, basically, I really did a power scrub on all the great episodes from everyone. And these aren't in any particular order, but I really would love to share this. And you can download this on my website. Number one was put your people first. And again, I'm not saying that they're in any particular order, but this is this kind of stuff that has come out over these last 10 years. Client service is it. Customer service is it, right? Culture and values rule. Processes are ridiculously critical and they win wars. Profit means survival, your own personal development for you and your team. Continual education is a sustainable competitive advantage. Have fun. Communication skills. I think if you don't have communication skills, you don't survive in life and in relationships. Network to expand your knowledge. Run toward technology and a critical language shift, which I also wrote a year and a half ago. And I know Dwayne. Gene, I can't remember if you have contributed to this and Clint, but I sent this out to so many of my friends in the industry, the rise of the specialist. This used to say the rise of the mechanical and technology specialist, but I decided to shorten that. And it is all about changing the kinds of wording that we use, not only internally, but on the outside to our client base and let them look at us as a much more professional industry than we come across to people. And, you know, Hollywood doesn't always make us out by looking at the most pristine kind of profession that you could go to work for. So both of those papers on my downloads page on remarkableresults.biz website, I just encourage everyone. I mean, it's, if you will, a 10-year worth of information that has come out of these episodes. This wasn't just a job that I woke up every day to do. It was a personal commitment to want to get to the point of really advancing the industry. And you guys really helped kick it off. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And those are memorable episodes that is very difficult for me to go listen. Number one, because I was the most terrible interviewer in the entire world. I was reading every question. Okay, Clint, tell me more about that.
At least it was your second podcast. That was my first.
I know. Thank you for letting me cut my teeth on you guys in the very early days. And for, you know, Clint and Gene and Dwayne have been on multiple times. And it's always great to be able to rely on people that have, you know, given so much.
That's awesome. Don't worry, I'll R&D all your work. So
yeah, so let's just go back to that. Don't ever feel bad. I don't know if I said this in the beginning of the show or to you in the green room, Gene. Never feel bad that you're going to steal someone's idea and make it your own. And again, it goes back to this story of, hi, Bobby, it's a competitor. You know, he's about 2 miles down the road. You knock on his door, you go in, Dwayne, you say, hey, it's Dwayne up from Dynamic. Let's go have coffee. I don't know what you're looking for, Dwayne, but you're not going to steal any of my secret sauce. There's no way. And the whole R&D idea of the secret sauce is no one has secret sauce, number one. And the typical shop owner who doesn't want to share his secret sauce means he's struggling, he can't pay his bills, he can't meet payroll. The secret sauce, I don't want to share. But people that are, I don't, not using a pun, Dwayne, but the dynamic people in our industry, they want to share. They want to toss up a great idea. And the whole rip-off and duplicate idea, Gene, that you did early on 10 years ago with us was this. The minute you take an idea from someone, and it becomes yours, it takes on a completely different flavor and smell, and it becomes your own because your culture and your people and your facility are so different than wherever the idea came from.
You know what, Carm? You know what I started doing in the last 6 months is I made a list, take a friend to lunch. So I go to a shop that I looks pretty good, and it is like so amazing, not just to talk business, but to talk their story, how they got into auto repair, get to know them, get to know their kids. And I've done that several times now with several neighbors of mine, you know, and they're going, Gene, what do you charge labor? And I tell them, their eyes go, boom. And it's like, we're only this. Well, it's up to you, but you should be this. And then they're texting me back, looking up the national averages, and they're like $30 below even what the national average is, you know, and a bunch of hour, you know, dollars below what we're charging next door to each other in the same community. And I'm busier than heck and they're struggling to get work. So it's just so cool to be able to share knowledge and get to know the folks around you. Now there's some you don't want to get to know, of course, but there's plenty that you do. So I encourage you to take somebody to breakfast or lunch and just talk. It will improve your community. It'll improve our industry for sure. And just have some, like you said earlier, the F word, right? Fun.
Take somebody to lunch. Yesterday, everyone knows we're recording this the day after Mother's Day. So I'm not sure when we're releasing this 10th anniversary episode. But yesterday, we went to a brewery for brunch. Okay. And there were, you know, some really cool breakfast cocktails and stuff. And when you pay $25 for a breakfast brunch, and you're wondering why your labor rate's still 100 or 110, and the rest of the world is out there, how are you going to replace the money you just spent on a $25 breakfast for, you know, everybody at the table? I mean, it's like ka-ching today. I don't think you can go out for less for two people for less than $55 or $60. I mean, just a couple of years ago, it was probably 30. And if we have a problem as an industry not figuring out how are my people going to survive? God almighty, wouldn't it be the coolest thing that my lead specialist in the back, my diet person is going to go out with for Mother's Day with his family and the moms and the dads and the in-laws and stuff like that. And he wants to step up and pay. How are we going to pay him enough for that to happen?
For me, it's easy. It's the seven fundamentals, right? Find the right staff, have the shop look, get the right equipment, have a shop model, the cars, the people you want to service and the type of work. Do some marketing or not, monitor everything, and then fine tune it at the end. And that's what I've learned from your show, from all of Clint and Dwayne and everybody else and all the episodes I've listened to. Those are the seven fundamentals that I kind of live by. And right now, being smaller, you know, we used to have 8,000 square foot shop, like a lot of you guys, eight, all these employees. And now we have 3,000 square foot shop, seven employees. really making as much money as I was with the bigger shops and taking half a year off.
Anybody else find it ridiculous when you listen to a business owner talk about the price of something going up and say, I'm going to go out of business. I can afford to pay for that, right? Restaurants down the street, like, the price of food's going up. I'm like, well, why aren't you raising your rates to match that?
Yeah, that's the point. Perfect, Clint. And so let's talk about, if anything, and again, this isn't a show about raising labor rates. This is a show about the 10 years of doing business. But if there is a common thread to the whole legacy of these 1800 and some episodes, it's been to make people better at what they do. In turn, so does the business get better. And the people we employ and the clients that we serve and the suppliers that we work with so that we can pay our bills. And if we're sitting down having breakfast, and maybe this is a great tie-in at the end, the average 30-year fixed mortgage, okay, let's talk about real heavy costs. The fixed mortgage for a 30 rate 10 years ago was 3.85. Today, it's 6.81. Yes, I know income went up. I get that. But the more you hear about living paycheck check to paycheck, so if we're going to be paying more for a house in whatever range those houses are now today, off the charts. I heard that there's 30 cities in the U.S. that a starter home starts at $1 million. That's a scary, scary, scary thought. What are we doing to help, you know, hire great people, to retain those people, to pay them what we need to buy the equipment? And it goes back to having the right gross profit. And part of that is where the labor rate is, and part of that is where we're charging for our parts and how all that magic works. And so I guess that's the thing that I've been the most proud, is that people like Dwayne and Clint and Gene have come on the show over all these years and all these episodes, be it, you know, the Mustang Man, that was kind of a really cool story about Giuliano Zaccato being a sculptor on the original Mustang, right down to the nitty gritty details of where the money goes. We've had so much fun over all these years talking about this stuff. And I, thanks for, you know, helping us serve up, if you will, knock upside the head kinds of information over the 10 years to see where you guys have gone. And, you know, we could go on for another 2 hours to talk about where you guys have been and where we've come from and the fun that we've had. And, you know, having my daughter Tracy join me 4 years ago and doing such an incredible job as our executive producer and director of content. You know, I don't do anything now unless I check with Tracy. That's just how it is. I so appreciate how she has helped me. Frankly, you know, here I am, and I'm listing off all of these, 1,889 episodes and all these things. I couldn't have done it without her. And so if there's any one person to thank, it's Tracy for all that she has done and become such a, in my mind, an influencer in her own right in backing me up and making the things happen. You know, we used to go set up my studio. It used to take me 3 hours. Now it takes an hour and a half because I have an extra pair of hands. And thank you for so many people in the industry that have had me to their events. We've recorded episodes. We've interviewed keynote speakers, unbelievable smart people. And the fact that I'm out doing my keynote on the rise of the specialist. And, you know, I continue to get invited almost every couple of weeks to certain events to give this speech because I think the industry wants to hear it, and they want to realize that there's something more beyond what we're currently doing. And I think this language shift is going to be critical. And whatever you guys can do to help with that, we appreciate that. Get new business cards made, do new ads that invite specialists to come in and work for your place. And when they look at that title and they say, ooh, Gene, what the hell is that? Oh, let me explain how much we value what you do, that you're no longer a mechanic. You're no longer a diag person. You're no longer an A, B, or C. You're a specialist. And that's how we do it and we focus. So I guess if anything in the last 10 years, what's helped me give out to the industry is that it allowed me to sit down and start pouring my heart out in these, if you will, these documents that I've written. And I don't think I could have done it if it wasn't for all the people that have been on the show. And thank you, thank you, thank you to the 1,000 or more people that have graced our airwaves and come on and given selfishly. So let's wrap this up. I'm going to give each of you a final word to the industry, and we'll do Clint, Gene, and then Dwayne. Clint, any final word?
You know, first off, Carm, just congratulations on 10 years. I think that's so awesome. Appreciate you having here. I would like to stick with the education. Just keep cracking the books and keep learning something new every day.
Keep cracking. I love it. Gene.
One thing that I'm grateful for is meeting Carm and teaching me the one thing. And that's the way I live my life, is when I meet somebody, I want them to give them one thing that'll make them smarter, wiser, or help them in their life. And it can be, like I said, your children, your neighbor, your customer. And if you practice Carm's one thing rule, your life will be full of F words. It'll be full of family, friendship, and fun. So thank you so much, Carm, for what you've given me. And I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Gene. It took me a few years after I coined that phrase, listen to learn just one thing. It took me a few years to realize that there was really more to it. And that is, you got to implement it. Listen to learn just one thing, but you got to implement it. So if you walk away with something and you write it down and you've got 400 or 500 of these wonderful ideas that have come to you and you didn't do a thing with it, shame on you. But if you did implement, if you did try to instill it into your business team. Hey, guys, I heard this episode. I went to a conference. I came back. I'm energized. Dwayne, how many times when you go away, they come back and say, oh my God, Dwayne went to a conference. He's going to come back and we're going to have to change. No.
And more importantly, when your team goes, you got to let them try things too. That's the part that really makes a difference.
Yes. When you come back with all this new knowledge, Dwayne, it's like, hey, sit down. A couple of things I learned. What do you think about this? Your final word, my friend.
Carm, I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for your courage. You know, 10, 11 years ago, when you left corporate America and that cushy job that worked you 90 hours a week, to take the chance, become the entrepreneur and dig into the service side and connect us. Because that's what you, and that's now what Tracy's doing, and the Remarkable Results team is doing, is connecting our industry. And, you know, we've always been known as the independent aftermarket. I want to say you've helped make us a little less independent. We are now connected and our shared knowledge helps us all. So thank you for doing that, taking that chance, because you did what we've done is you took a risk. And that's why you get street cred, is you took the risk starting your own thing. But thanks for bringing us all together.
Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate that. And I'd have one more comment, and that would be the Aftermarket Radio Network that we started in 2021 with Coach Bob Greenwood. And then, God, we're ready to launch his whole thing, and he dies on us. And then we brought on Chris Cotton, Matt Fonslow, Hunt Demarest, Brian and Kim Walker, and Craig O'Neill for the Aftermarket Radio Network, because you mentioned the word aftermarket, which is what we've all been called. I'm not necessarily in love with that term anymore, Dwayne. I am not. But if it wasn't for all of you and all our great listeners, that we could then start branching out into a coach, into a technician, and then to an accountant, and then to a marketing husband and wife, and then to a communications expert in Craig, we would not be continuing to build our sphere, if you will, just like you have added stores, Dwayne, Clint. We are scaling too with new podcasts too, for all this great edification. In fact, episodic edification. That's my new thing. Episodic edification. You're going to start seeing that in more and more places. Episodic education. Because the word training is part of my language shift. I want to move that into a continuous education instead of training. Training is for athletes. Education is for all the stuff that we do, including our brainiacs in the base. Wow. I'm honored that you guys are here. Dwayne Myers, Dynamic, episodes 2, 3, and 4, my second interview ever. Clint Dudley, episode 5, out from Shade Tree Auto in Iowa, 3 stores. And Gene Merrill, episode number 6. Golly, I can't listen to them.
6 and 7. You did 2 for me.
That's right. Yes, yes. And certified automotive specialist, Glendora, California. Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm honored to have known you and continue to know you people so well. Thanks.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.